Hi, and welcome to Land Grant Holy Land Uncut. My name is Matt Tamanini. On this podcast, we bring you uncut audio from press conferences and interview sessions with Ohio State players, coaches, and sometimes various and sundry other figures from the sporting world. On today's episode, you will hear from three Ohio State football coaches. First, head coach Ryan Day, then defensive coordinator Jim Knowles, and finally, running backs coach Tony Alford. They all give updates about their individual responsibilities on the team, their thoughts on the first five games of the season, their outlook against Michigan State, and much more. Now, before we get into that audio, if you are finding this episode on our website, landgrantholyland.com, make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are giving you almost every single day of the college football season two different podcast episodes so that you have all of the news, analysis, and conversations that you need to be the best Buckeye fan possible, and some different voices and perspectives that you might not know that you needed as well. So, with all of that out of the way, let's hear first from head coach Ryan Day.
Ryan, when you look back at the film and watch the Lion Brand, does it make it a little easier to make sure to pace the way the trigger gun comes back and make sure he's fully ready to
Time? You know, watching the film, he was our player of the game on offense. I thought he ran hard. A big part of it, obviously, we know is everybody else involved with it, but he ran really well. But no, I think at the end of the day, you know, we leave all that stuff up to the medical staff here to make those decisions, and certainly we're anxious to get Trey back.
I feel like it could be this week for Trey Dion.
Yeah.
Ryan, you mentioned a few weeks ago that the injury that Jordan Hancock suffered during camp was a significant injury. Yeah. And is he back to practicing full speed yet? And when do you expect him back?
Yeah, full speed, yes. But we're going to kind of look to see if we can get, through the bye week. And then as we get, to that game after the bye week, you know, we're hoping to get him back in the game at that point. But it's still sort of week to week at this point.
Tommy has obviously locked down the middle linebacker job and has played well all year. Yeah. Does it seem like Steele is now doing that at the will?
I think so, you know, based on his production in the last couple of games. But, it's week to week. But, you know, I think based on the way he's playing right now, if he can keep that up, he's playing at a high level.
Ryan, you know, when you guys signed Mayan, he wasn't as highly touted as some of the other running backs from a recruiting perspective that you guys have signed. What was it about Mayan that you saw that made you believe he could be this kind of player?
Yeah, Tony watched them run. Kevin Wilson actually saw him play live in a game, and we just felt like he just ran really hard. And like you said, you know, maybe he wasn't as highly recruited, but we just felt like we saw something in, you know, kid from Cincinnati who ran hard. You know, Wynwood's a very, they have a great winning tradition. They're a great program. They produce really good football players. And again, being from Ohio means a lot. And so, you know, we wanted to always invest in Ohio guys. And so we certainly saw the talent in him, but it was mostly just the way that he was built, low to the ground, his vision, his power running the ball.
Stats red zone on Saturday. I think you guys had 9 passing plays and 9 running plays inside the 10-yard line. Just curious, like, what goes into those decisions of when to pass, when to run in that area of the field?
It's a lot of work on Wednesdays. Wednesdays are very stressful from when we get in here to when we get on the field, just with everything going on with game planning, but making decisions on short yardage, goal line, third down in the red zone. And you know, there's sometimes very heated discussions in there because we know how important the red zone is, how important short yardage is, how important third down is. And so we talk it through and then we put it on the field, try to make some corrections on Thursday. And then, you know, keep having those conversations all the way up until game time. Like, what do we think? Ball's on the left hash, 8-yard line, 1st and 10, 2nd, you know, whatever those things are. And then based on what's happening, we try to adapt the best we can. We had a lot of plays in the red zone this past week, so we had to kind of dig into a couple plays that maybe we hadn't practiced, in a week or so, but the guys executed them well and did a good job.
Yes, Ryan, I kind of wanted to get your perspective looking back on just how important C.J. Hicks's role as a pure recruiter was in that class.
Yeah, excellent. You know, you always look for that Pied Piper in the recruiting class that can kind of show, show the way and lead the way. And you know, we have a couple of those guys in the class right now. But he was, and you think back, you know, Paris Johnson, Jack Sawyer, Kyle McCord. We've had different guys over the years who have done a great job of that. You know, I think about how our receivers really helped recruit CJ. And so that was a big deal. But let's talk about CJ Stroud. But CJ Hicks in his class was excellent and did a great job.
Right about Mayan. What you saw about Phil, but what was it about him meeting and talking to him as a person, as a kid, that you liked him as a recruit?
He's an interesting person. You know, he really you know, has a way about him where he's very thoughtful, and at times can be understated a little bit, but then there's other times where he's in front of the group and telling jokes and laughing and being loud. So we've seen kind of different parts of his personality bloom here. You know, I give mine a lot of credit. He's been through some different things over the last, you know, year or so. You know, lost some people in his life, but he's continued to work through those adverse times. So to see him play like the way he's playing right now, going through everything he went through, and that's not something he typically puts out there, but he has been through a lot. And you know, it's not easy for these guys when they go through different things, and I give him credit for that. And I know the guys around him and his friends have pulled for him and helped him through that.
How have you seen him grow or maybe shrink as a player from his high school days?
Yeah, I think just the overall awareness of what it takes to be a college football player. When he first got here, you could see in that first Clemson game, you know, I mean, he could see the ability, you could see the feet, you could see the quickness and the vision. I think, you know, when you make that transition from high school to college, you think you can bounce everything and outrun everybody. And he's really learned to make those ugly 3 and 4 yard gains, you know, 5 and 6, and the big plays come. And I think his vision has really improved. I think his pass protection's improved. Just overall awareness of the game and football IQ.
Right behind him, Matt Murphy, 24/7 Sports. Ryan Steele obviously did enough last year to work his way into a starting role and whatnot, but obviously another year in this as a linebacker. How have you seen him kind of become a real linebacker as opposed to a guy still transitioning?
Yeah, just playing more and understanding what it takes to be a linebacker. And there's just different things, whether it's in protection or attack and protection on blitzes, whether it's in coverage, whether it's in the run game, whether it's out in space, in the box. There's just so many different things you have to do. You got to take on linemen. You got to go cover linebacker, cover tight ends, running backs. You got to zone drop, read the quarterback's eyes. You got to read screen. I mean, there's just so many different job descriptions for a linebacker. And the more he's done them, the better he's been.
I know you guys have now done that with Chip as well. And you talked about why that position can be one that can flip sides. But how difficult is it for a guy to, right before a season or in an off season, to make that kind of transition?
I think it's a challenge, but I also think that both those guys played in high school. So it's not like it's they just started playing and out of nowhere. But when you see guys who are very athletic, who have the ability to cover guys down the field, cover ground, speed, power, explosiveness, change of direction, you know, those are the skills that you look for in a linebacker. And so, you know, some guys want to really try running back first to see if that's what works for them. And a lot of them, it does. But that's something that's happened over the years in football. It's pretty natural for linebackers to make the transition over to linebacker. But I do think, yeah, when you're talking about college football, it does take some time and takes a little bit of adjusting, which, you know, gives Steele credit and Chip, that, you know, they're making that transition quickly.
When you have a player like Jackson returning and you're sort of formulating your plan for the season, how much of your playbook are Jackson plays, like stuff you draw specifically for him?
A lot.
And I figured when you don't have access to that, does it force you to accentuate different things within the offense? And how has that process been?
Yeah, 100%. I think you hit it right on the head. I think when we talk that, you know, in here we always say, you know, one of the strengths of college coaching is being able to adapt to what you have. And I think that's what you've seen here, you know, and that had to kind of happen in game when we were in the Notre Dame game. It kind of caught us all off guard. And then we've had to do that here over the next couple of weeks. And looking forward to getting Jackson back and getting him going, and certainly brings a whole other element to our entire offense. But I guess it's been a silver lining here is that we've had to, like you said, kind of go down the road of some different packages. And you can see that, you know, those guys have embraced it. And, you know, you got to credit our staff and our kids for really embracing it and putting it on the field, because it wasn't something that we spent a ton of time in on the offseason, but some. You know, but now it's on the field. It's one thing to practice, it's another thing to put it on the field and be successful. So we think that it gives us some versatility in our offense as well.
Have you, I guess, learned anything about your offense sort of along that journey in terms of things that maybe are strengths that you weren't anticipating coming into the year?
I just think certainly the tight end play between Cade Mitch, you know, G, those guys have been solid contributors for us. And then also just, you know, the young receivers, I think you'll see in the way that the offensive line has handled some of the run game and the way the running backs are running. I think when you add all that stuff together, you're seeing progress there. Again, know where we need to be. And as we continue to get challenged more and more, we'll see where the adjustments need to be made. But I think that's something that, you know, we've looked at here in the first five games and seen some progress.
And just one last thing. When you look at the quarterback as a Heisman Trophy candidate and you know how important cumulative stats are to that award, you're in a game that is clearly trending in your favor. Is any part of your decision-making calling plays, let me see if I can steal a touchdown for CJ here, rather than maybe calling things within whatever the flow of the game would be at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go down that road, although, you know, you understand that that is part of the world we live in right now. But I think what CJ would tell you is that, you know, all he wants to do is win. You know, he's not looking for individual awards, and he was the happiest guy on Saturday. And, you know, there were a lot of holding calls. There's a lot of things that, you know, just happened. And, you know, he would look at you and say, well, we scored 7 touchdowns in our first 9 possessions. You know, if someone said that to you, that's a pretty good day. And we're all looking around after the game going, well, I guess we got to get better in these areas. It was a clunky day. It's like, whoa, we've got to get a grip on things a little bit. And so I think he would tell you that. And, you know, we have to just take what the defense is giving us. And we have to look for that balance. And that's the most important thing. And all the other things will take care of itself in the end.
Right, Don Perry, WBNS 10 TV.
Coach, first road trip of the season. What kind of concerns and how does it change for you guys?
Yeah, going on the road, tough place to play. Certainly a great stadium and great environment. And, you know, it's going to be hard to win up there. It always is. And, you know, this is the first time we're going on the road. So, new challenge for us, new test. And, you know, it's been unique that we're into week 6 here and haven't played a game in a row. It's been great, but we got into a good rhythm, but now we got to go get our first conference road game.
You got these guys pretty good down here last year. It was a top 10 matchup and all that. What do you expect this time, and what do you see when you look at them?
The same thing. You know, they've had a couple injuries here and there, but they're still very much the same team they were last year. A lot of those guys are back, so... I know they've lost a couple games here, but we're expecting a top 10 team. We go up to East Lansing, well coached, really good players. They had an excellent season last year, and those guys are still there. So it's going to be hard, just like it always is. And we know that you know, we got our hands full this week, so we got to have a really good Tuesday and Wednesday practice to go on the road and go get this win.
Hey, Don, the new kid on the block, Kelly Instance, WSYX.
Hey, Coach Day. What challenges can Michigan State's defensive front present, especially with Jacoby Winden coming off the edge?
Yeah, you know, they've done a good job last year, and they do a good job this year of trying to create you know, chaos in the backfield. You know, they've upgraded in certain areas with some new players in the front, and so just like any team we play in any conference game, we got to win a line of scrimmage, and that'll be important on both sides of the ball, but. We know what they're capable of, and they're very talented.
Coach, you guys have had to win a lot of different ways on offense this season. Have you had a time in your career where you've had to kind of change your game plan this much? And how much do you think you've learned just from the first 5 games you have to do?
I mean, we've learned a lot about our team, I think, and where we're going. But this is still just the beginning. We've got a long way to go. And I think, you know, we all understand what needs to be done this season. And I think we have a better idea of what we have than we did 5 weeks ago, first going into that Notre Dame game. Yeah, I think every year you learn more about your team. You learn more about, you know, what you need to do to win. But it's not magic. It's fundamentals. It's taking care of the football. It's tackling well. It's winning the line of scrimmage. I mean, I say that every week, but it's true. I say to the guys, you might get bored of me saying it, but that's the discipline of bringing it every week, is you got to do the same thing every week. And sure, it gets old to hear, but it's the truth. And the great ones can do it every week and can bring it every week and don't get tired of the basics and the fundamentals.
You said on Saturday that it wasn't style points, which you guys went 49-10. How almost tiring does it get that Ohio State has to win 100-0 every week? And how hard is it to walk in a locker room and say, like you said, it's clunky? Even though you guys just dominated a Big Ten
club. Yeah, well, I was walking into the Blackwell and someone grabbed me and just said, Coach, good luck in the game today. 63-0, right? I said, okay. Okay. We'll start off by trying to get the first down, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I think it's the pride everybody has in our program. I think it's the hard work of so many people here that the expectations are so high, and that comes with the job. And that's a good thing. We look at it like it's a good thing, you know, that people expect us to win at a certain level. And, you know, if we score 7 touchdowns in our first 9 possessions and we're talking about how things were a little clunky, then that's a good thing because we're holding ourselves to a very high standard. And I embrace that, and we embrace that. We love that. And that's what makes us good, is we didn't come to Ohio State to be average. You want to be great. And so that's the way we take it.
Seems like he's even exceeded that this year. What are your thoughts on Paris?
Yeah, I think making the transition to tackle, he's done a good job. He's got some bigger challenges coming, but he, you know, he's made some progress for sure. I think all the guys up front have. You know, again, as we continue to build throughout the season, we'll start to see more and more growth for all those guys. I think you're seeing that across the board with the guys up front. Still a lot to work on, though, but there's been bright spots. There's been flashes. There's been good play in the run game and in the pass game. But still a lot of things we want to continue to clean up. But you're right. I mean, for first time starting a tackle, there's been some good play.
Defensively, you know, where you were at last year compared to where you're at this year, how does that affect your play calling or your decisions in the situation, or the confidence you have in defense to be able to get stops, whereas last year maybe the stops work on them?
Yeah, I mean, certainly early on, like in the Notre Dame game, it was huge, you know, deciding to kind of push the ball inside the 10-yard line and play defense. I think that certainly in those really tight games are going to play into it big time, because when you're getting those stops, then, yeah, you play the field position game, and that's okay. But, again, it's not something we're used to, but that's just the way it goes. And so that's smart football. And the minute you start getting away from that, then you start getting arrogant. You put yourself at risk big time, you know, starting to think that, you know, that doesn't matter. It certainly does. We got to play the field position game. We got to play great defense. We got to take care of the football.
Right, when it comes to changing player positions, not specifically linebacker, but just in general, how's that conversation with some of those guys when it comes to moving up positions?
Yeah, we don't really make the decision. We bring it up. Like, for instance, you know, with Cade Stover, it was his decision. Steel Chambers, it was his decision. We tell them what we see, what we think. But in the end, if you're forcing someone to change positions, it doesn't work. They have to want to do it. They have to embrace it because it's really hard, and they're going to fail over and over and over again. And the only way to make it is to be able to sustain over time through those failures and be resilient. So that's my experience with it.
Why those guys have had so much success, because it's something that they want to do, not something you guys force them to do.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, to take Chip, for example, I mean, we recruited him like crazy as a linebacker here, and he wanted to play running back in college. And we said, okay, no problem. We love you. I mean, loved him. But he decided to go to Arizona State and then realized he wanted to play linebacker and came back. And now he's really embracing that role, and I think you're going to see his career take off.
Now that we're a little bit over a year into the night, would you say it's a net positive or a net negative for the sport? And can you just dive into, in a world that's sort of lawless right now, how challenging it is to stay within lines that are almost invisible?
Yeah, I think it's such a it's not a black and white answer, you know, positive or negative, because while the idea of it is definitely a positive, and there's a lot of people who are benefiting from that, certainly our players are benefiting from it. It's excellent, and they deserve it. Just it's hard, because there's a lot of hard feelings, because there's a lot of gray area in terms of, you know, what's allowed, what isn't allowed, inducement, those type of things. So until we wrap our minds around that and get some really concrete rules on how we want to move forward with this, on what is allowed and what isn't, you know, college football is a multi-billion dollar business. And, you know, when you don't have the guardrails in line or, you know, for these types of things, then there's going to be hard feelings. And I think it's just important that we try to get our arms wrapped around that.
Beyond that, you're, I think, a third of the way through what you hope is the full season of 15 games. Have you guys started to see new leaders emerge in the program? And the all offseason was about the leadership committees and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Who stepped up or that you've seen as elevated? You have 3 captains that really can't play. So I'm just
I mean, I've really felt Ronnie Hickman out there big time. I think his leadership's been excellent. With the guys up front, I mean, you're seeing Luke. You're feeling Luke when he's out there. I think DeJuan Jones has been a pleasant surprise just in terms of his day-to-day positivity out there. I'm just feeling him out there. Certainly you guys know about Cade and CJ and those guys at the receiver position. You know, I think Emeka is an excellent leader. I think Julian's shown leadership on defense. Yeah, certainly Tommy is outstanding there. Zach Harrison's had a really good voice. Who else in the back end there? I'd say those are the guys that kind of jump. I'm going to forget somebody, but Xavier Johnson has been excellent, really. Just overall, his leadership's been tremendous. Certainly the captains have been great. But when you go on the road for your first road game, leadership is critically important. And so our leadership will be challenged this week.
Coach, just curious, as you've watched the last couple of games on film beyond stats, how do you evaluate the way CJ's playing?
You just take it, you know, play by play and, you know, grade what you see on film. And there's been some really good things and obviously some things that he's got to improve on. But that's everybody in the entire program. But there's been some really good play there.
As it relates to Michigan State, it seems like one area they really excel right now is actually in the punt game, the number one punter in the country. I know they haven't turned those, you know, field possessions necessarily into wins, but how do you approach a week of preparation? You're going against a team that can flip the field the way they do.
Yeah, we have to. Well, we talked about it today in our staff meeting, you know, what the objectives are in special teams, and that came up in the meeting. They do a great job in that area. So you know, that's an area we got to win. We got to win the kicking game. It's part of our plan to win. And, you know, part of it is going to be certainly, you know, making sure that we're aware of all the fakes and different things that may come up in a game like this. Is, you know, teams typically will try to steal possessions. You know, that's part of the plan. You know, a lot of times we see. So we have to be on edge there. But then we got to do a good job of trying to be aggressive and going after some punts. And at the same time, you know, when it's time to return them, you know, we got to do a good job of holding them up so that, you know, when a punter, you know, can really do a great job with punting the ball with hang time and you know, down the field, you got to hold guys up in order to get a return. And we have good returners. So, you know, we'd like to get some yards back on that area so that, you know, we don't feel like we're going uphill all day.
Emeka, last week, it was an awful windy day. When you evaluated the fumble, is that kind of how you saw that?
Yeah. I mean, that's not good when you turn the ball over, you know, the first punt of the game. And, you know, he's been reliable for us and he'll continue to be reliable for us. But I know we wish he had that play back. I mean, nobody wanted to make the play more than Emeka Abuka. Nobody cares more than him. So, you know, he'll take a look at it and try to figure out how maybe he could work on that a little better. We'll get some punts up there on windy days and keep working through it. But we have all the confidence in the world that he'll catch the ball when it's in the air.
Coach, five straight games at home, and you've had a lot of people cheering for you. Now you're going to people are going to tell how much they hate you.
Right.
And all teams being different than the Rose Bowl team and this team, what are you looking for from these guys? Because you go up there, you play the game, you come back down. I mean, that's like a, that can be pretty stressful for a young player, a young team. So what are you looking for from this team?
Yeah, I think the first thing is composure and focus when you go on the road. You know, you have to do a great job with leadership. You know, the older guys who have been through this before have got to lead the way because, like you said, if you haven't been through that before, it's hard to simulate going into, you know, hostile environment like we're about to do. So the leadership and the older guys got to lead the way, and we got to show composure and focus and obviously play hard. You know, that goes without saying, but, you know, there can be a lot more distractions when you're on the road. So in terms of, you know, when you're at the game. Now, the good thing is when you're traveling together, there's less distractions in terms of all the outside stuff. You know, you're kind of on the bus, you head up on the plane, you're at the hotel together. There's not all family members, just different things in the area that may be a distraction. So that part's good, but I think those are the areas that we'll focus on.
Any of the teams that you've been an assistant on or the head coach with, any team that in like maybe the first or second road game where you're coming back home and going, wow, this team's really changed.
Yeah, you can learn a lot from being on the road. Absolutely. Yeah.
Game in particular?
Not offhand, just here as we talk about it. No. But I know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm aware of what you're saying. You know, you can really mature and grow as a team when you're on the road and go get a conference win on the road. It can mean a lot. So I don't really have an example offhand, but certainly I agree with what you're saying.
Jacob Benson, you're going back to, you mentioned the distractions and the NIL and all that. We've crossed the Power Five, a couple of different programs and parted ways with their head coach already this early into a season. Just from your standpoint as a head coach, how difficult is it to keep up with all the extra, you know, things going on in the season aside from just winning the game?
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but you know that, you know what comes with it. Doesn't make it easier, but that's why you have to hire great people that you can rely on. And you do all the work in the off season, you know, to get to these moments here. But to say it's easy, you know, that's not true. It is. It's a challenge, but that's what we signed up for. And that's the way we want it.
Hiring great people, leaning on others, just who from Ohio State kind of helps out with that kind of stuff. Who do you lean on? What sort of advice do you see?
Yeah, I mean, everyone. It just depends on where you're talking. When you talk about the team and you talk about, you know, the strength and conditioning area, Mick Marotti is a huge, person that I go to all the time. In the recruiting area, certainly it's Mark. When it comes to operations, it's Quinn Temple and Brian Bottolini. When it comes to the football stuff, it's the entire staff, the coordinators, starts with those guys. Just day-to-day stuff, Keenan Bailey is a huge help for me. There's just a lot of people here that you have to lean on. Everybody has their certain area that they got to be really good at. And if they don't, they kind of stick out. You know, Kayla Olson's got to be the best nutritionist in the country. I mean, just the work she puts in for these guys and how she helps these guys on a day-to-day basis and the hours she puts in, it's unbelievable. We have our player development with Tony, Candace, and CJ. You know, there's so many people around here that have to be on their game all the time. And if they're not, then something falls apart. And we can't have that. And I think everyone embraces that. We talk about what that means, especially in the off season, and everyone's got to hold up their end of the bargain.
Cam Brown's had to go through these recovery processes several times. I'm sure he was hoping he was going to be done with that this year. How has he handled this one, this latest setback? What's been the frustration and the mindset for him as he tries to get back out
there? Yeah, he's been itching to get back out there. He's been stressing to get back out there. I mean, I've felt an urgency about him for the last week that he's dying to get back on the field. So, he's gonna, we're gonna obviously make sure that he was where he needs to be and kind of trust the doctors and all the medical people. But I mean, he's trying really hard to get back on the field, and I don't think anybody's more frustrated than he is. So hopefully this is a great week of work and we can get him back on the field this week.
Outside of, he was playing well early on. You've seen Denzel struggle a little bit and you've had the injuries with Jordan, but what has it been like to manage that whole unit? I know it hasn't worked the way that you or Tim probably or Jim imagined for this first month plus.
Yeah, well, we haven't really had that whole unit at full strength. And you think about, not having Jackson and a few different guys, we haven't been at full strength. But when you look at most teams across the country, most of them aren't anyways. So that's part of the game. And so you have to adapt, and that's where some of the young guys got to step up. And to the young guys' credit in that room, JK and Jair had to step up. And so that's good. That's building some depth moving forward. But like you said, we can get Cam back this week and hopefully Jordan in a couple weeks. And Denzel, coming off of that hand, I think he's got a game under his belt. So hopefully, he'll take the next step this week. But that's part of it. We were missing a couple guys like Cam and Lathan for a game, and so some different guys have had to step up. And so that part has been good. Some guys we played some depth here. Ideally, yeah, we'd love everybody healthy.
Second roll up, Steven Means, please.
Just one more follow-up on the punt return. I know he muffed that one, but he's had a couple this year where he's had basically catch it over his shoulder. Has there been conversation about maybe just moving him back so it's not even this year?
The tough thing about moving him back is on that field, because it's not grass, when it bounces and rolls, it rolls forever. So it can cost you 30, 40 yards. So trying to find that sweet spot in there is difficult. And the funny thing in the stadium is if you looked up at the flags, it was blowing south, I believe. And went down in the field, it was going the other way. And then all of a sudden, it would turn on the field. So it swirls down there. So sometimes to try to get an idea of where that wind is taking the ball or holding the ball up is a little bit of a challenge. We try to do the best we can out there. But there's a little bit of a feel to it. And, he obviously that one got us. But he's also done a good job of making sure he catches those because, if you go too far back and it takes that big hop and rolls 30 yards, that's three first downs. So we try to find that spot in there, and sometimes we do better than others.
Just logging, kind of got off to a hot start this first couple of games here, and then Has he maybe missed Jackson most of the receiver just because it seems like he's the one getting double teamed and having the extra guys on him over the top now?
I don't know if he's getting double teamed. You know, I think he's doing great. I think when he's had his opportunities, made plays. You know, I think there was a couple holding calls on him the other night. You know, and maybe if those don't happen, there's a few more catches and things like that. And just the way it's played out this year, we haven't had as many plays. And a couple of these past couple games, you know, when you look at the numbers, you say, oh, they're a little down. But they haven't really played in the fourth quarter, you know, or really even the end of the third quarter. So that's only a game and a half. A half and then maybe like another 8 to 10 minutes. So that's a lot of football that some of the guys are missing. So, no, I see him playing at a high level right now. He works as hard as anybody. And, you know, certainly will be good to get Jackson back. There's no question. But no, we're happy with his play.
Played this week.
Yes.
With Jackson, you characterized him as sort of day-to-day last week. Does he fall into the same kind of Jordan Hancock category for a game like this when you've got the bye week coming up?
No, we're hoping to get him back this weekend, you know, but again, it's just so hard to tell. You know, we can come in today and say, well, he had a little bit of a setback, or no, he's really doing good and he's trending to play on Saturday. So when I say day-to-day, that's kind of how it is. And, you know, with the style of injury that he has, it can kind of go that way. It can linger or it can get better quick. So we're hoping that it's the latter of the two.
You mentioned a couple times today, and you were talking about last week, about taking what a defense gives you, being more willing to just run the ball, maybe in the past when you weren't so much. But you've also got a Heisman Trophy finalist quarterback. You've got first-round NFL receivers. So how are you finding, I guess, that balance just as a play caller? Because don't you want to still – be the one dictating things offensively and pushing that action? And how do you reconcile
that? Yeah, we just every drive we're trying to score touchdowns, and whatever it takes on that drive we'll do. Every drive's a little bit different, and so again, if they're going to sit in a too high look, and we're probably going to run the ball. If they're taking a safety out of the sky and putting them down in the box, that opens up some one on ones on the outside. And it's not as simple and as easy as that, but philosophically, that's what we're talking about. So. You know, we'll just try to find that balance. And, you know, the other thing that happened after looking back on the film was we had a short field a few times too. So some of those drives, you know, they only had to go about 50 yards to score. So when you look at the numbers at the end of the stat sheet, it looked a little light. And I think that was just unique to the game.
So you see or feeling a shift as far as just how defenses in general are approaching you or things you're seeing across college football? The defenses are maybe trying to take that away more and playing back more?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that the defenses have really done a great job this year. I don't know what the numbers are across the country, but just at first glance, it seems like the numbers seem to be down a little bit. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I feel like, you know, the scores and stuff seem to be down a little bit, but maybe that's just maybe that's not accurate. But I just feel like defenses are doing a good job across the country.
Looking back on Denzel's return against Rutgers on Saturday, what did you make of it? In general for the season that he's had? He's had some maybe more ups and downs than he had last year. What do you think's kind of like contributed to that?
I think, you know, he, in terms of, you know, his movement and, you know, working through that hand, I give him a lot of credit for having that procedure done and getting back on the field so quickly. Goes to show you how tough he is. And he's been right there for a lot of these plays. He just hasn't quite finished them. And so that's an area that he's got to work on. But the good news is he's right there. And so, you know, we believe in it. And, you know, Tim's going to drill the heck out of it this week. And but you know, his footwork and the way he's moving is all really good. And his cover ability is really still strong. He just got to finish at the point of attack. And I know he understands that. And he's going to work on that this week.
And last year, to have a big freshman year to come here and contribute right away. And he was rating coverage against a lot of the best receivers. Face of the Big Ten. What's this year been like for him personally? Just kind of dealing with some of
that? You'd have to ask him. You know, I don't know. But we certainly believe in him.
Brandon Stark, Tim May. Tim May podcast. And on three.
Letterman Rope. Whatever. Hey, Ryan, you look around the country. Paul Chris just got canned on Sunday. You know, guys, how does that heighten just your awareness of win now, baby? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I know you don't need any more burden on you than whatever, but it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is. But that's – I don't think it's anything more or less. I mean, I feel that every day when I wake up. It's just, you know, We got to win them all. So that's just, and that's not always easy to live that way, but it's just the way it is. And so we've embraced that, and that's how it goes. But it is a tough profession.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get you to brag on your offense, but I will ask this. I mean, Rutgers was bound to determine y'all weren't going to run the ball Saturday, you know, and then they played the two houses. And y'all kept picking at that lock, and you opened the lock. And I mean, do you just feel like you're working right now with just a full complement when it comes to offense of finding answers? And I don't know, what is that feeling like, I guess?
Yeah, no, no, I don't think we're anywhere near there. I do think we have had some balance, and we've done some good things. Don't get me wrong, but no, I don't. There's still a lot of issues, and the whole key is to identify the issues and get them fixed. Even though maybe against a certain team, you can get away with some things. So, as the film continues to grow, as we get into these conference games, we get into some of these matchup games, it's going to get harder and harder. So, we got to go out there and have a great week of practice. We got to get some things fixed. We got to keep growing in the passing game, the running game, the play action, the drop back, the power run game, the spread run game. There's just so many things that we need to improve on. So, I don't think we're there right now, but we have had some good bright spots, though, for sure.
Donovan Jackson, when you watch him on video now, what just stands out about the way he is playing?
He's very talented, but he's also very intelligent. He's tough, just in terms of his ability to bend and the power that he has. I mean, he kind of has a lot of those skills, and he has a lot of tools there. But I think what probably makes him special is just his mental makeup.
You guys have not been challenged other than Notre Dame. I mean, almost every other team has had a close call. I mean, how happy are you with just how the season has gone so far?
Hard to tell, just because every week is a week in progress. It's like a work in progress where we're trying to figure out every week what we need to improve on, because we know that we're down this path and we have to continue to build to reach our goals. So, each week you try to identify the things you've done well and enhance them. You try to identify the things you got to improve on. Sometimes that's easier to do than others. Sometimes you got to really scratch at it a little bit. And that's not always easy to do when you win the way we've won the last couple of weeks. But you got to be honest, and we all have to be accountable and critical and make sure that we're getting better in those areas, because it's important to continue to get better. I don't know how else to say it,
I assume you're quite pleased with Jim Knowles and the defense. What has stood out to you about how different this is? And maybe you probably figure first year coordinator, there are going to be some bumps in the road.
Right.
How is that going?
Well, I think that they play with great confidence. And to me, that's the most important thing, is that they're playing with pad level. They're playing fast. They're playing with confidence. The scheme is great. I think they believe in the scheme, which is, there's good answers. But at the same time, it's the energy, it's the pad level, it's the fundamentals. Just look the way Tommy's playing. He's just playing a lot faster. The way Steele is playing, he's playing faster. The line's playing with a little bit more aggressiveness. So I think that's probably the number one thing. Again, still got a lot to improve on, but I like the way that they're playing and their energy.
Yeah, Ryan, just to clarify, the way Tim asked that question about people getting fired, did you think Tim was putting you on the hot seat there?
No. Yeah, I did.
No.
You said you wake up thinking about that. Like what? Like, I have to be at my best every day. We can't lose a game. How do you really manifest that idea of doing your job?
No, everything you just said is yes. That's exactly the way I wake up every day. Now, there's nothing you can do about that other than try to focus and be great right now. And you got to wake up running every day, or someone's going to get you. So that's just the way it is. And I think our team understands that. I think that so far we've had that approach. Now, can we sustain it? That's the challenge.
You said the Wednesdays when you're in the offensive meeting room and you're coming up with red zone and short yardage.
Yeah.
I think you used the word stressful. Is it fun too? Is it ball coaching? Like what's there's stress in there and trying to be perfect, but also what's it like when all the offensive guys are in there trying to make a plan? Don't you love that?
The best part is when you execute and you put it on the field and it works in a game, because you just think about all the work that's been done. And so you can enjoy it after the game. That's the best feeling. Yeah, during during it. No, it's not. It's not always that fun because you know you. You know, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? What's the best angle? What's going to happen? Are they going to change the look? Is is this guy going to win in this matchup? You know, there's just so many variables to come into play, and everybody has to do their part. And then you have to have the right chemistry in there where, you know, sometimes you can say too much. Sometimes you can say too little. You got to make decisions. You got to move on because the clock's ticking, and guys will be in here in meetings here at 2:30, and we got to go. So it's a race against time to come up with a really good plan that schematically gives you an advantage, but also allows your players to play fast. And that's what we strive for. And having enough, but not having too much.
How have you evolved in your offensive thinking in your time at Ohio State, first as a coordinator and now as a head coach, being in those rooms, being in the college game, and I know you were before, have you changed how you think about offense?
Yeah. I think it's just being in those games and knowing this is what we're going to need. And just looking at it and saying, well, we need like two more runs here in this situation, or we need one more play action pass here, or we got too much. Like, guys, we can't execute any of this stuff. And just trying to find that right balance. I think that's probably just over the years between Kevin and I, we've worked hard to strike that balance. Not that it's always perfect, but it's probably what we've learned the most.
Real quick, just like even taking off your coaching hat real quick. Now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is one of the best players in college football. It just stinks that he's barely been able to play this year. Yeah. Are you just curious? Just to think everybody wants to see this guy play football.
Yeah. I think that, like I said, there's a silver lining. But, yeah, nobody wants to get on the field more than Jaxon. And we all would love to see him on the field as well.
And final questions over here for the right play hall, WSYX.
A little bit what Doug touched on. You spoke of the burden. Do you feel like because I'm a young guy, I've been through the grind, I'll get to January and then I'll take a breath? Or do you dump the burden somewhere? Or do you just carry it?
I don't even know. I don't really think about it like that. I try to do the best I can when we get away from it, you know, on a Thursday night to try to, do something, to think about something else. But usually what happens is we end up as a family watching football on TV on a Thursday night. So it's hard to get away from, where my son comes home from his game, but, it's just kind of a way of life. And we love it. We embrace it. And I think of, you know, 5 home games in a row with over 100,000 people in the stadium, just unbelievable crowd. And just seeing all the people at the Skull Session, you know, walking up to the game, post game, just, seeing the joy in their face, you know, after a win. And that's something we take, you know, a lot of pride in.
But mental health is your cause.
Yeah. You know, you have to find a balance just like we all do. You know, it's just, you know, obviously mine's a little bit different, but everybody has their own challenges. And, mine's not harder than anybody else. It's just different. And, you know, I think we all have to find that balance. Thanks, man.
Next up at the podium is defensive coordinator Jim Knowles.
Cameron T. Robinson, the athletic, fourth row right.
Jim, when Tanner went down, Costos came in, just kind of, he played, I think, somewhere around 30 snaps that game. How did you evaluate his game when he got on the field?
Thought Kai had a solid game. I mean, here's a true freshman and really has not had many reps at that nickel position. We had to make that adjustment during the week and trying to look ahead, you know, get him in there at different times. But, you're forced in a situation. Young guy has to step up. I thought he held his own.
That safety spot has been just that whole room has been banged up the first 5 weeks of the season. You guys have moved people in. And how would you evaluate just that room as a whole? I know you guys knew it would be pretty deep coming in, but have they been more impressive than maybe you thought or with everything going on?
Yeah, I thought they've handled adversity extremely well. I mean, that's our game involves a lot of your success is determined by how you handle adversity. And I think that group has done a great job of it, having to be flexible, move guys around. It's not as easy as it looks, you know, and a lot is asked of those safeties in our defense. And I think they've done a good job.
to go far left, Justin Holbrock, WCMH.
Right, there's one for 11 on third down in that game. You guys are, I think, 11th, 10th in the country in third down. You talk about adversity, that's a part where you see what the defense has made. Why have you guys been so successful there on third down?
It's just something that we emphasize. You know, it's part of this system. You know, and I actually was disappointed. I just looked at that and saw we were 11th in third down. You know, we certainly have higher aspirations than that. We're doing well, but it is a critical part of our system. So our guys are trained from the beginning on how to hold the line and know where that down is, because to me, that's the game of defense, getting the ball back to the offense. And particularly when you have an offense that is as successful as ours, you want to get the ball back to them as quickly as you can. So if it's not by a takeaway, that's all on that third and fourth down. So we're doing well. I'm pleased, but we certainly want to continue to grow.
Front row left, Dave Biddle, 24/7 Sports.
Jim, there was a lot of talk about Court Williams in the preseason. I know you guys are extremely deep at safety. What's going on with Court? Do you expect him to have a role in the defense this year?
Yeah, Court has been banged up. You know, he's had some things going on that hasn't given him the chance to fully compete to earn a position. So he's a great leader, and you know, certainly we hope he comes along, but he's not completely healthy. So you know, we need to give him time to get better.
J.K. Johnson, can you just describe his skill set? It seems like he's very confident. I know he's fast. Just describe him as a corner, if you would.
Yeah, I like J.K.'s aggressiveness, number one. His reach, you know, his impact in press coverage, and his competition at the end of the route. I think those are things where J.K. excels, you know, and that derives from having the physical traits and the skills, but like you said, also the confidence. But I like the way he throws punches at the line of scrimmage. That's what we talk about a lot.
Front row middle, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, you're top 10 in the country. I know you want to be even higher, but given that you're first year coordinator here, players have to learn a whole new scheme, how happy are you with what the progress has been?
You know, I'm pleased. I mean, we have seen some success, you know, but, you know, it's always just defense is such a right now proposition with, you know, failure is not an option. So it's just drive, push to be better, you know, never really look back on any of that until the end of the season when you look back on things. Aside from the plays that didn't go right. I mean, you look at those all the time because you're trying to figure out how to get better. But, you know, like I said, when I got here, we don't have 3 or 4 years to put this system into to make it into a premier defense. It's got to happen right now this season. So it's my job to keep pushing it.
What's your biggest concern?
You know, defense, because you can play – well, you can play great for a long time in the game, but it only takes one play. You know, it takes one play for something to go wrong or a 50-50 ball to go up in the air. So my biggest concern is that we continue to compete and have that mentality on defense of stopping them on that play, no matter what the score is. You know, we get into some situations where it might be easy to relax, and it's my job to continue to press upon them that stopping people on the next play is a habit. So like when it comes time when you need the defense to stop them, you can't just pull that out of your back pocket and say, hey, let's stop them now on this play. It's got to be an attitude. It's got to be an every down thing regardless of the score or where we're at. So that's my biggest concern.
Right behind him, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
Seems like this is probably the third season in a row where we've had discussions about the defensive ends and the balance between creating pressure and then actually getting home on sacks. Where is your level of satisfaction right now with where that's at, and how much do you feel like those have to get home in order for this to be
whatever your concept of a championship level defense.
Negative plays, right? Always having the ability to get a negative play, right? Because that sets the offense back behind the sticks, the pressure on the quarterback. You know, I'm pleased with what we're doing up front. I think it's my job to continue to create more opportunities, right? To me, it's a function of coverage and rush working together. It's a matter of, you know, the quarterback having to hold the ball. You know, when they're getting rid of the ball quickly, or, you know, keeping people in the protection, nobody's guys are going to have a chance to get there. So I think that's my job to continue to mix it up and, you know, continue to grow the system. We're not there yet in terms of what we're capable of in installation. So there are a lot of things out there that I'm trying to sprinkle in week to week just to free those guys up more.
Right behind him, Tony Gervin, Buckeye Huddle.
Jim, you've said, and your players say it now too, that what happens on Saturdays is your fault, like the bad things. When did that become your thing?
I think it, you know, back at Duke, you know, where we had a lot of great future doctors and lawyers, not necessarily, you know, just great, not necessarily professional football players, you know, and it was Coach Cutcliffe taught me a lot of things, but one of his things was, you know, a good carpenter never complains about his tools, you know, so then when you go into the game, you know, you need those guys just playing freely if you're going to have any chance, you know, if you're overmatched skill-wise. So, and those were guys that tend to overthink things. So you're just trying to free their mind of that, you know, to go out and play and not worry about making mistakes. Now here, I have great tools, right? I mean, I'm not a fixer guy, but what are the best tools? Like Craftsman or something? I don't know. I grew up in a row house project, so I can't fix anything, but we have great tools. But now in order to get allow those guys to perform, I think it frees them mentally, you know? And it's just a good thing to say. It's like a good thing for me to put in their mind as they go out to the field, you know? Like, hey guys, there's a sale today. I bought all you guys a free pass on any mistakes you make today. You know, if that's like the last thing I say to them, to me, they're like, yeah, I mean, that kind of fires me up. I'm like, okay, yeah, just go out and play. Just go out and play. And I think it's something that, you know, if things happen on that field, you know, I have to look at myself first all the time, you know. And if it's great, then it's the player should get the accolades. If it's not, then I should be the one who's figuring out why it didn't. Because in the end, ultimately, all we are is a product of our habits and our training, right? I know Coach Day believes in that. Coach Mick, you know, in the weight room, that's it. We're a product of our habits and training. So if it doesn't show up on the field right, then it's up to me to look at where it went. But how do you get those guys to perform to their best? I think we all worry about making mistakes, you know, and these are young men who get a lot of pressure from social media or their parents or everybody's looking at them every single thing they do. So I want them just to play when it comes to game day. I'll stay on them pretty hard during the week, but you know, game day, let them play.
Front row right, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Just a quickie throwaway. How many cups of coffee? It is coffee, isn't it? Not anymore. How many cups a day for you?
Not that many, six. But I'll make the coffee, and then I'll put like a triple espresso on top of the coffee. Yeah. So, but that's just one. That just counts as one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My real question: what are conversations like with Tommy Eichenberg? Is there give and take? Is it just, you know, you can tell he's absorbing everything you're saying? I mean, what is that? Because obviously with us, he's fairly clipped. conversation. But what is it like with you?
Yeah, what you see is what you get. He's clipped with me too. I mean, that's what, you know, there's some grunts, you know, and it's like, you know, if something's not right, he'll stop and like barely look at me, but kind of like, and I'll say, you know, you were supposed to do that on this play in practice, right? And he'll go, and go on, you know, I mean, but he's always like, he can see things, which is ideal, right? He can see them as they happen. So if something's not right on the practice field, you'll see him just stop and he won't really say anything. But I know he's looking for me to give him the answer, like, what the hell just happened there? You know what I mean? And then I'll tell him and he'll just and go back and play the next play.
But if you had a guy get it, as you know, you've talked about this in the spring stuff, but if you had a guy get it as quickly as he did with what you're thinking, you know, what you want out of this defense, et cetera. I mean,
he's picked it up as quickly as anyone I've ever worked with.
Got time for just a couple more. Front row right, Austin Ward, Rivals 97.1, The Fan.
Jim, sort of building off your philosophy there for game days, letting guys go play. On the interception for Steele and Zach's tip there, correct me if I'm wrong, it didn't seem like it was the most exotic play call you could come up with, just maybe two guys making an individual play to their training. Is that?
Well, we had a pretty good, I mean, there's a little more to it than you seem. Yeah. I mean, you know, there was some bluff going on. There was a great one-on-one matchup that we created for Zach and he, you know, and put him at the right position to take advantage of that. But I did kind of look, you know, bust on Steele after the game. I said, I thought you were a running back here before I got, no wonder they moved you to linebacker, you know?
The way that they both sort of took that call, however we want to describe it, and then a hand match, recognizing a tip ball, the way that they executed it after that, I'm sure from your coordinator seat made you feel pretty
good. Yeah, it looked smooth. You know, I think it was what, a medium? I'm thinking third and medium maybe, right? So Steele's position and where he at was on the field was very well planned, and he knew exactly where to be. I mean, not that you're predicting the tip ball, but when you talk about areas on the field and where to be, you know, yeah, I mean, it is satisfying when it all comes together. But, you know, it happens like in a blink, you know, and then you're – there's no celebration for me. There is for the guys on the field, and I want them to have that because I'm trying to – you're always trying to process everything that just happened, what they did, what led to us making that play – you know, for the next call. That's what you're working on doing.
Front row middle, Joey Compton, Columbus Dispatch.
Jim, what did you make of Denzel's return after missing a game and just kind of dealing with the hand?
Yeah, he's dealt with a lot. You know, he really has. He's you know, he wasn't healthy a lot during camp, so he missed a lot of reps. He's had things already this season. You know, a hand injury for a corner is a big, big deal, you know, because you're constantly jamming receivers or, you know, shooting your hand up in the right place to get the ball out. So he's a tough kid. I was really grateful that he wanted to be back and he forced him, you know, he pushed himself to be back. So, you know, in this business for a corner, to wanting to get back out there and compete as quickly as possible, that's a big deal. You know, he's going to keep getting better.
In the Arkansas State game, when he gave up some plays, you guys took him out and you kind of gave him a breather, then gave him back. This was one where he kept in the rotation. Was that a case of wanting to get him more reps? Well, just
yeah. It's like, hey, you know what? He showed a lot of grit by just being out there, you know, at a position. You know, where in the whole secondary, we've had some issues with injuries, and he showed a lot of grit being out there. So he definitely deserved the chance to work his way through it.
Time for just a couple more. Andy Anders, Buckeye Sports Bulletin, fourth row middle.
Yeah, I had a couple kind of related to my call here. You've called his first step very rare, and the way you guys use him on the defensive line, he's played one tech, he's played three tech, he's played five, is that specific skill what makes him so versatile, or is it something else?
No, that's a big strong guy with a like I said, a great first step, great takeoff. So he's got some things that are hard to coach. So, you know, we move him around in different positions to take advantage of that.
He seems to get the most animated after he makes a big play, just with his celebration. What does that bring to a defense, and how important is that for him?
Yeah, Mike is definitely one of the guys that brings the juice. You know, he's just high energy, has that personality, that big smile when he makes plays, can keep guys loose. And I think that's a part of having a great defense. You need people like that.
Right next door, Pat Murphy, 24/7 Sports.
Jim, aside from the interception play, is there anything still in Steele's game that doesn't look like a linebacker and still looks like he's transitioning? Or when you look at the film, is he a full linebacker now?
No, he's a full linebacker. You know, Steele is. I mean, he's, you know, I joked with, yeah, I didn't know him when he was a running back, but Steele is in there, you know, I've continued to see improvement even during the season in his tackling. You know, I think everybody has seen that. You know, he's starting to really pick up how to tackle at this level, you know, which is not like up around the pads. You know, you see, you know, it's not high, it's low. You know, it's single leg takedowns and roll tackles, and it was good. I think Steele's making improvements in that area.
I asked him after the game about having the defensive coordinator as his position coach, and he said he thinks that does make a difference because you're the guy who came up with this defense. Have you noticed that in the past when you've worked with linebackers in particular, that changes things?
Yeah, I think there's a chance for guys to see the forest through the trees, you know, and when I'm in there talking to them, I'm also talking about everything that's around them, you know, so I think it gives them a bigger picture of the defense.
Second row left, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
Jim, just in your experience, what is the more difficult transition, teaching a defensive tackle to do edge rusher things or an edge rusher to do defensive tackle things?
I think it's an edge rusher teaching them to do defensive tackle things. You know, on the edge, there's some freedom and there's some space. You know, inside, there's nothing but heavy traffic. You know, so anytime you're in a position where you could get a block this way or a block this way, you know, that's you have to be a real warrior to do that.
Watching Zach make plays in there on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's great for him. It's great for his future. It's great for our defense. And it gives people something to think about, too, and plan for.
Second row middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Jim, when you're a coordinator and you're working with new assistants, what are you looking for that tells you, okay, this guy's a good coach, I believe in this guy, and how long does it really take to get a sense of other guys on the staff when you're working with them for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it takes, you know, usually a full season, right, until you really, you know, go through the battles together till, you know, you really know each other. Like anything else around here at the Ohio State, we don't have a full season. So it's like, you know, we had to get it done right away. So fortunately, when you have veteran assistant coaches like we have on defense, which Coach Day's done a great job of building that staff, you get a sense right away. Because to me, a great coach wants to be, you know, talented at teaching his position, a great like listener and learner, right? Because you want someone who can learn your system and then be intelligent enough to like know when to see, okay, I know something that I could do in this case, and to bring that up, you know what I mean? So it's not like a debate of the system. It's like, okay, how do you do things? And then where can I add, how can I learn what you do? And then where can I add to that? You know, it's definitely a veteran balance, you know, that I know I've grown to. I think all coaches grow to, you know, when you're young, you're a young man in a hurry. You know, I mean, you're always trying to say, "Hey, I knew that. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's change." You know, it's okay when you have some time and you've seen the battles. You kind of look at the system and you say, "Okay, this is our system. How can I add to make it better?"
Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And finally, from the press conference, is running back coach Tony Alford.
Hey, Coach, thanks for spending some time with us. I want to ask you maybe less personnel and more just your perspective on some of the goal line stuff this past weekend. Felt like it was maybe more challenging than it had often been this year when you were in goal-to-go situations. When you look back at the tape, what was particularly challenging?
Well, I think it's like anything else. You know, when you bring a bunch of bodies in, heavy bodies, they bring a bunch of guys, and you basically have 22 people within the hashes. So there's not a lot of space. You know, we don't really run the quarterback. We have not run the quarterback a lot in that situation, so you're going to always be outnumbered. But and give them credit, too. You know, I mean, they've got good players over there, too, and made some plays. But in the end, you know, we were able to still punch things in, and offensive line was able to move people still and get the ball in.
I'm sure you asked a lot of questions about Mayan and Trey, so I'll ask you about Mitch.
About Mayan and Trey.
You know, Mitch had some fun with us last week in talking about, am I a tight end, am I a fullback? How much have you enjoyed working with Mitch in that spot?
Yeah, so, you know, Mitch, when he first came here, he was a running back when he first came. You know, coming out of high school and I ran for a bunch of yards down this high school down in Tennessee area. So, you know, he has some of that background in him. And so it's been good. Now, do we spend a lot of time? I don't spend a lot of time with him. I mean, he comes down a little bit, you know, every day just to do a couple little things, some ball exchange stuff with the quarterbacks and the running backs, but we won't spend an exuberant amount of time with him as well. But yeah, it's good for him, and it's good for our football team. It gives us another dimension. It gives us another playmaker that can do some things for our offense. So it's been really good.
Front row left, Dave Biddle, 24/7 Sports.
Hi, Tony. Obviously, Mayan has developed well as a back. Have you even seen him develop as a young man? The reason I ask is I remember talking to him when he was a freshman, he'd barely say two words to us. Now he's very engaged and, you know, just seems to be a lot more confident as a young
man. Yeah, I think he's becoming more confident in his own skin but definitely seen him mature as a young man, as you would expect, especially in this program. But he's been through a lot. You know, that guy's had a lot of personal challenges in his life and he's been through so much. I'm extremely, extremely proud of the young man that he's become. He's a guy that this entire program leans on and loves him. He's got this engaging personality that when you first meet him, because when I first met him in recruiting, I was like, who the hell is this? You know, this guy doesn't talk, you know, but as you get to know him, he's got the kindest, biggest heart. He cares about his teammates. He's a team guy, consummate team guy. He's fun. He's engaging. He brings so much value into the running back room just with his attitude, infectious attitude, and he brings that to me every day. So aside from playing ball, he brings a lot of value to me personally.
One more quick one for me. How's a guy like T.C. Caffey fall through the cracks? I know he had one FBS offer, Army. I'm sure you're thrilled that he did. Getting him as a walk-on. He had one of the best careers in Ohio high school football.
I can't answer that. You know, you'd have to ask all those other schools that missed. But no, we were fortunate to get him. And, you know, I haven't really haven't gone out and actively recruited a walk-on like I did a scholarship player. And you know, probably that's my own fault. But I did with him and his family. And, you know, as I told him back when, if there's some things that come and arise for you and your family that you think are in your best interest with scholarships, by all means, I understand, take it. But if not, and this is something you'd want to entertain, here's what we have for you. And that's what they wanted to do. He's a Buckeye and grew up in this great state and wanted to be a part of this program. And we are thrilled to death to have him because he's going to be a good player.
Thank you. Third row left, Dan Hope, Lebanon Warriors.
Tony, you guys signed Mayan in 2020. There were a lot of questions about running back recruiting at that time.
Because that guy couldn't recruit.
Does that make it more satisfying to see what he's doing now?
Well, it's not about, you know, trying to satisfy any of you guys or anybody else. That doesn't mean hell. Just go home. No one's ever satisfied at my house. But no, all reality, we just want to get players that can help our football team and help our program and help us win. And so that's where we got to Mayan, and a lot of people, you know, to your point, a lot of people would have said, well, he's not that highly recruited, but we saw some things in him, obviously, and just some sheer and raw toughness, just the way he plays the game. And he's an Ohio kid, you know, and if we can recruit Ohio players, that's what we're going to do. And so it's been great. And he's, like I said, he brings so much value to this football program, and he's a damn good football player.
You always think Mayan could get to this level, or has he even exceeded your expectations?
Oh, I don't know. I try not to put expectations on our players, on our kids. I don't try to put a ceiling on them, and just coach them to be the best that they can be. And as we continue to grow and climb, you know, we'll go where we can go. But I try not to say, well, I expect this, and all of a sudden, if he can exceed it, I'm not going to put that ceiling on him. And I don't think that's right to do to any player for that matter. But here's what he is. He's tough. I mean, he is rugged, and he's a violent, violent player. And we saw that in high school. We saw that his true freshman year. And it's just continuing to be the guy we think he could be.
left, Tony Gertman, Buckeye Huddle.
Tony, what's it like for an assistant coach when you're recruiting and you really, really like a player, but there's no room for him?
It's tough. You know, it's hard. And you know, but that's part of being part of a program like this. You start recruiting guys. And I think the hardest part about recruiting is you build these impeccable relationships with kids and families. Sometimes you get them, right? There's sometimes eventually you got to turn and walk away from them, and where you had a scholarship as you're going, and then all of a sudden you don't. And so that's hard. And it's hard to look young people in the face and say, you know, I know you may want to be here, but we just don't have room. But that's part of that's the business side of it. And at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer, too. At the end of the day, if you build those relationships the right way, kids and coaches, we're all diligent about the work that we do, that everybody eventually fits where they're supposed to fit.
Was Mayan in danger of being one of those guys that you wanted but didn't end up a Buckeye?
He was a guy, again, we were on some guys that, some other guys. Now, he was always right there, and we were always talking to him. And but at the end of the day, you know, we didn't know where it was going, and it kind of fell back into his lap a little bit. And then he had some decision to make. Remember, he was committed to Iowa State, and he could probably tell you more about it. But I mean, I quite frankly, I think he was pretty pissed at me. You know, well, no, he was pissed at me, but. You know, and I've told the story before that you know, long story short, is first impressions do go a long way, but they also can be wrong sometimes too. And like I said, he didn't talk much. He kind of sat there and didn't say much. He wasn't very responsive to things that I was trying to say to him or do with him as far as calls and text messages and driving an hour and a half up here. And so I was kind of like, well, maybe he doesn't want to be recruited by us, but it really came down to, I think he might've felt that I had slighted him a little bit. And then as I got to know him, I went down to him, and at the time was his head coach, Coach Parker. And I remember sitting him down in the weight room. We're sitting there, and I said, I have to apologize to you. Whether you come to Ohio State or not, I have to clear my chest here. I have to apologize to you because I had the wrong impression of you, and I was wrong. And I think that, I hope that was probably a big moment in our relationship that, hey, I was wrong. And as I've got to know him more, I saw, no, this kid's got something about him. And he may not talk a lot on the onset, but he's listening and hearing everything. And he's about as respectful as a young man as you could get.
Has he apologized to you?
No. No. No, no. And there's no need to him. He would never have. He didn't do anything wrong, you know. And but he's a highly competitive kid. He really is. And I think the one thing that he brings in the room, that really our whole room is that way, is they champion each other's efforts. And there's zero selfishness in that room. And for me to walk into a room like that, it's an absolute joy to be a part of.
Second row left, Steve Helwagen, 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, Coach. I know you can't go into the nature of Travion's injury, but can you recount, I guess, what exactly transpired, how that all kind of went sideways.
Yeah, it was, dude, that's something that he and our medical staff that came in, and, you know, obviously we want, also want all our players to be healthy and be ready to play. But at the end of the day, we're going to defer to our medical staff. And when they came in and said, hey, here's what we feel is going on with him, and in conversation with Trey, and here's what we feel is best. And within seconds, we moved on and then made the adjustments necessary.
Last
I know availability is an important part of this whole thing. You've got to be on the field to play. Does what Mayan showed you in that game lead you guys to, as a staff, to maybe reconsider the roles of those two guys if Trevion is completely healthy? And I'm not even into this whole starting thing or whatever, but just number of carries, the roles for these guys.
No, I mean, I look at it as we have two starters. I have the whole time. I've not looked at it as a, well, you know, this guy's got to be, he gets so many more carries or this. I just don't function that way. We have two guys that are capable of being starters here. We have two guys that are capable of playing championship level football, we believe. And we're going to use them accordingly and how we need to use them to help win games. And, you know, I get asked the question during training camp every year, well, do you want to do things by committee or does it have to be some a bell cow, as people put it? And I say the same thing every year. I don't care. I want to win games. We're here to win games. We're not here to stack up stats. If stats come with it, then fantastic. But we're here to win games, and however we have to do that, that's how we do it.
Second row middle, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
A non-Mayan question, but where did the, from what you were watching in preseason camp, where did things change for Dallin Hayden? Was it something that as soon as he got here, you saw maybe more than you were expecting, or did something kind of start flashing?
Well, I think this reps, you know. You know, during training camp when Evan went down, that afforded Dallin to get more reps. And with more reps, you get seen more and have opportunities to flash, if you will, and to make plays. So I think that the rep count up for him, and it helped him, obviously, because now he's getting to play and getting some experiences that maybe he might not have had otherwise as many. And so that I won't say it's a benefit, but that afforded him more opportunities. And that's kind of where it started to show up.
Right next door, Doug Lamarese, Cleveland.com.
Tony, the offensive meetings that you guys have when you're sitting down in the middle of the week and getting ready to make the game plan for Saturday, can you just tell us kind of what it's like in that room? And as an assistant coach, what's the balance of, hey, I want to get my ideas in there, but also – you know, the meeting can't be 10 hours long and you're doing
structure. You know, we have a structure of offense that we run. And myself, Coach Day, Coach Hinton, Coach Fry, we kind of go off and we'll start doing the run game. Where, you know, we kind of sit down and say, okay, here are the things out of these certain formations that we like. And based on the defense that they present, then we'll come back. We leave and we come back as a full staff and kind of just put it all together, and you know, then we kind of interject, well, here's the pass game and here's the play action passes that go along with things, and so we just kind of piece it all together. And but again, everyone has a say, everyone has an opportunity to express things that they think would do to enhance, but at the end of the day, it's just kind of like being in a family, right? At the end of the day, when we walk out the door, we're gonna all be on the same page. We can't do everything. People can't get upset, and if their idea isn't used, that's okay. And we do what's best to put our players in the best position to be successful based on what they can do that works in the confines of our offense. I don't know if that answers your question.
What's Ryan like running the meeting?
He's the best. I mean, and I'm not saying, I mean, you say, well, you better say that, right? No, actually, the guy is amazing. And I've told him this before. I've been doing this a long time. And I've worked for numerous head coaches, obviously, in different stops and different schools. And, you know, I've been fortunate. I've never had a bad job. But I do believe that Ryan Day is one of the all-time top guys I've ever worked, had the pleasure to work for and with. And, you know, and I say with because he does not make you feel like you work for him. You work with him. Just the man that he is, he makes everyone feel valued and heard. So that empowers you to do your job. It empowers you to do your job and to have ownership in what you do because he allows that. And not only does he allow it, he promotes that. But he does the same thing with our players. And so I am indebted to be able to work with a guy like that.
Right in front of it, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Tony, could you kind of give your assessment of how Trevion has played this year?
He's done okay. He's done some good things. So I think you know, I think some people might be remiss because he hasn't had some of the big runs that he had had earlier last year, but he's still doing some good things. And, you know, is there room for improvement? Sure. Yeah, there's room for improvement in everybody's game. But he has not played poorly whatsoever. I think he might be a little frustrated because there haven't been the long, dynamic 50, 60, 70-yard runs, but those will come. You know, those will come.
What do you want to see him improve?
I just think, you know, just some of the vision things, and I think attacking, you know, second, third level defenders and kind of making some guys miss in the back end of the defense. But a lot of that's on me, you know, that I could be doing some things that could probably help more as far as drill work and things like that. And but he has done some really good things for this offense, and he will continue to. And you're still talking about a guy that's ripping off, I don't know, six and a half, 7 yards a carry. I mean, that's pretty damn good. You know, I think where he's really improved is his blocking. You know, so he's still doing some very good things in our offense, and we're going to expect him to continue to enhance those and get better.
Right next door, Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch.
Tony, just wanted to ask your thoughts. I haven't had Steel Chambers in your room for a few years and watching what he's done at linebacker now. Just what do you make of his success in the red side?
Yeah, well, so when we recruited Steel, one of the things a lot of people didn't want him as a linebacker. As a matter of fact, our defensive coaches wanted him as a linebacker, but he wanted to play running back. And so we took him as such, and we didn't have the conversations early in his career that if you're not getting a ton of reps on offense, we will possibly approach you about playing defense. You can always reserve the right to say no. But he said yes to it. He just wanted to play. So it doesn't surprise me that he's doing well over there. I think it was about maybe 20 seconds after his interception, I was like, well, this is why you're that linebacker, you know, but no, he's done well, and I'm very proud of him. I'm happy for him. He's helped his football team. He's helping himself. I think it's been a good situation for everybody involved.
Right next door, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Tony, I don't know if you remember this far back, but you used to play running back.
That was, I don't remember. That was so far long ago.
When you look at a guy, it just, you know, I think only running backs maybe can even relate to this, but the violence that from play to play, I mean,
right.
19 times out of 20, you're going to get knocked down pretty hard and stuff. And Mayan seems to have the ability to kind of throw punches back a little bit. You know, what are you looking for when you're looking for a running back? And in that regard, I mean, can he be tough enough, I guess, is the question. But number two, what just stands out about Mayan in that area?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Mayan, he's about 3 feet tall. So, but Mayan doesn't give him much surface area to hit. You know, it's all shoulders and thighs, and he's so strong. You know, the lower half of his body is like hitting tree trunks, and he does a really good job of speeding up into contact. And, you know, conventional wisdom would say, if you're like the analogy of driving a car, when you're going into contact or hit a car, if you're to have a car accident, you hit the brakes and slow down. Well, this is a little different. You have to speed up into contact, and he has an uncanny way of speeding up into contact, driving his legs into contact and through contact. He's got really, really good contact balance, so he's able to take shots and bounce off of them and still keep his balance. And he's a load. He's 227 pounds. So yeah, but he has an uncanny ability to be able to speed up into contact, and then he reduces the surface area in his pad level, so there's not a lot to hit.
Yeah, but it's also a willingness to do it. I
mean, absolutely, you got to be a willing combatant. Yeah, no doubt. You can't be soft.
Yeah, can you look in his eyes and see when he's really? I mean, in a game, what?
I got to just talk. Well, you just got to talk to him. I mean, it's not about just in game. I mean, just sit down. If you sit down and have a conversation with him, he's a tough guy. And he's a very motivated guy, and there's nothing soft about that kid. I mean, now again, he's very nice and he's humble and all those things, but he is a tough guy.
Got time for two more questions. Front row right, Austin Ward, Rivals 97.1 The Fan.
Tony, just to clarify, what you say every training camp is that you don't have a crystal ball, not that you don't care.
I said that. I want to clarify that.
Yeah. Do you? Tell me how off base this may or may not be. Do you see anything, or did you see anything with Trey before the foot that reminded you of 2018 with JK and
wanting to take the next step as a sophomore, and he wanted to hit home runs and sharing time with Mike and all that.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't. I mean, I think this is, everything is individualized, and you know, I got to be honest with us. I'm not going to allow people to paint a picture of this kid's not playing well. And no, I'm not saying that you did, but no, I didn't see that, and I haven't seen that. So, you know, I just think circumstances, we are where we are, and there's some things that we can do better, and he can do better, and I can do better. There's some things that Mayan can do better, and Dallin and my whole room. So we're not a finished product. We're in week five, and we're going to keep swinging. And again, we're just trying to win as many games as we can, however it looks.
And final questions right behind him, Bill Landis, Rivals.
Tony, when you're recruiting to a room that could very well end up looking like what you have now, and there's essentially two starters, as you said, is there a personality trait that you look for in high school players that tells you they can excel in that kind of environment as opposed to one where they're getting 30?
Yeah, you know, I think just unselfishness, you know, and team guys. And that's why when recruits come here, and we're fortunate to get them on this campus, obviously I spend a lot of time with them, but I want them to spend time with our players. I want them to spend time with Trey and Evan and Mayan and Dallin and TC. I want to spend time with all those guys because they'll be able to tell me too what's really going on. How does this kid really think? But that's the biggest thing. Just besides the skill sets, right? You're talking about the personality traits. Just a guy that's very, very unselfish. A guy that that understands and values hard work and loves to play football. I mean, loves, none like to play, but loves to play. And just because a guy flashes on tape doesn't mean he outruns everybody, doesn't mean he loves the game. He might just tell you, he might just be better than everybody else. But do you love this game and all the stuff that comes around with it? Because it's not easy. It's not easy. And you have to be able to leave your ego at the door, as they say. Right, and strip your ego off this thing and say, listen, you know, whatever you have to do to help us perform to win, then that's what we need. And are you willing to do that? And we ask those questions. So it's not a shock to your system when you come in and say, well, I have to share carries, or I have to, you know, I'm maybe not the number one receiver that everyone goes to. We have a lot of guys that can play. And at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer of this too, that at the end of the day, Bill, everyone's going to get theirs. If we have the success that we all desire to have and we all covet, every single person will get theirs in the end. And so I try to recruit to that.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
all right.
Take care. Awesome.